from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Geo coming to you live, Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Stugatz in for Boomer the rest of the week. So, episode 4 of Hard Knocks last night. Joe Shane, the star of this thing. Man, I tell you, boy, Joe Shane is just, I mean, he has become a star. He really has. It's all about Joe Shane in this show. And you bop in, you get Chris Mary, you get John Mara. Get a little bit of Dayball, you get some of the other scouts, but this is basically, as you would imagine, an off-season show all about Joe Shane. And this was probably the most boring of the episodes so far, in my opinion. It didn't even end up with the draft. They kind of teased the draft. But you did have a couple of things that were interesting, just not as many as the last time. And it was the trading up and the deals that were out there for them, and it was just impossible for them to make that type of deal to go up to 1, 2, or 3. Obviously, they weren't going to go up to 1, but to 2 or 3 because the price was too high. And then them settling, and well, not necessarily settling, but them ending up with Malik Nabers. So that process was interesting. And also, the thing that I had not heard before or seen before was John Mara comparing this draft to 20 years ago with the Eli Manning draft, and kept bringing that up to Joe Shane. This really reminds me. He sounds like a real old guy now, John. This really reminds me of 20 years ago. 20 years ago seems just like it when we took Eli. And I'm thinking, like, all these guys, like, all right, John, enough from 20 years ago.
Enough about Eli.
Doesn't matter. Right. We don't care. Doesn't mean anything. Don't care. But He's right in the sense of it. They gave up it. I almost forgot how much they gave up to get Eli Manning and make that trade with the Chargers with Phillip Rivers. I mean, they gave up, you know, Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Then a 1 next year, a 3 the next year, and then like another pick in that draft. It was crazy.
Yeah, but it worked out.
And it worked out. Yeah. As they get 2 Super Bowl championships out of it. So there was no price, as Ernie Accorsi, they put him on there from an older interview, and they said there's no price too high for when it works out. So they were really thinking about it. And John Mara also said, if we pull this deal off, you know, I'm going to get palpitations. Because that right there is the make or break move for a general manager and a head coach, ultimately.
How do you think Daniel Jones, he's watching Hard Knocks, how do you think he experiences all of this?
I mean, he went through something similar a couple of years ago.
He did, yeah.
Where Brian Daboll comes in, he did not get his fifth-year option picked up. He was basically singing for his supper, and he came out and got that contract, $40 million a year. So he's been through it, but... So they didn't show a conversation between Joe Shane and Daniel Jones. They showed a conversation between Joe Shane and Chris Mara,
where Joe Shane was saying what he told Daniel Jones, which was, we're not giving up on you. We didn't stop believing in you. But the fact of the matter is you're always hurt and you've had major injuries. So it doesn't mean that we think you stink or you can't play. It's just that we have to do what's best for the organization. And he said he wanted to tell Daniel that because he didn't want him to right. walk into the cafeteria sure. and see Drake right. May sitting there and what the hell's going on. So I don't know. I mean, Daniel Jones seems like the least emotional person on earth. But the fact that he went through this once before and he came out of it now with just Drew Locke as the backup and no quarterback being drafted.
And $47 million guaranteed.
I mean. Right. But there still is an out at the end of this year. So he's probably thinking, I got to do it all over again. I got to prove myself all over again. And first starts with being healthy.
He does have to. They got him a weapon. They got him a weapon in the first round of the draft. I'm interested, and I'm sorry to backtrack here. Are you telling me that Joe Shane is inserting himself into, like, as the star of this show?
No, he's
or
not.
Or is Hard Knocks just going to Joe Shane because
no.
He's interesting and his position is interesting?
Well, I don't know if Joe Shane is interesting. His okay. position is interesting.
I mean, he's a friend of mine. I'm telling you, he's a funny guy. He's a nice guy. He's a good-looking guy. I have no idea if he's interesting. We've never gotten that deep into a conversation.
Doesn't seem like he's interesting.
Okay.
It just seems like he's really good at his job, right. and he's built for a general manager position. The reason I say he's the star of the show is just there's every scene has Joe Shane in it. I mean, that's what it is.
Right.
And so Hard Knocks has made him the star. It's not like Joe Shane has. Like, Mike McDaniel became a star because of McDaniel.
There's always somebody in Hard Knocks, yes.
Right.
And you're telling me this time it's my friend Joe Shane is the star.
He is, okay. yeah. I mean, right. but by default.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because there's no other stars.
Because you're going to do an off-season Hard Knocks. The right. general manager has to be the star.
I guess.
So, yeah. I mean, who else is it going to be?
Well, listen, I'm going to ask him to come on tomorrow, and I only want to talk about him hogging all the camera time. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you good with that?
I am.
Ask him a single football question.
I am good with that. Right. We had him on last year, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
He came on, yeah. yeah. So he's...
What did you ask him about? Dable farting in the elevator or something?
I think so.
You did.
Yeah,
you did. Yeah.
yeah. How did that? No, he said it.
What a recall by me, by the way.
No, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I asked, who would you rather be stuck in an elevator with? Wink Martindale or Brian Daboll?
And right.
he said Wink Martindale because Brian Daboll farts in elevators.
By
that's
the way,
what it was.
Have you told Al and Eddie about the worst contact sports radio trade in the history of trades? The trade you and I made. Where I gave you a number and you gave me a number?
Yeah. Well, of course, Al was a part of this whole thing.
But
Eddie got on me, said it wasn't a good enough trade. I was like, what are you, nuts? So I wanted Joe Shane's, and I've never I never even texted him since I got that number. I just felt like, I don't know. I've texted Brian Daboll, and he's gotten back to me. Brian Dable's great.
Right.
But I don't text him things like, I don't ask him any questions about the organization. I just try to keep in contact.
Sure.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he likes
us. Build up some equity, right?
He likes us.
Right.
But I haven't texted
him to come on. I mean.
So the trade was
taught you nothing.
Tommy, no, you did. Yeah. I'm not like that.
I'm going to tell you the trade right now. I wanted, it was the agent for
Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito had a moment. Shemtoff had a moment. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that his name? So
no, Stellato.
Why do I call him Shemtoff?
I have no idea.
Stellato was
Sean
his name.
Stellato, yeah.
You guys had Stellato on. Our show wanted Stellato on.
Right.
I texted you saying, give me Stellato's number, and I'll give you any number I have. You responded, and you could not give me Stellato's number quick enough.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you're probably wondering, like, why, Stu, Stellato, you can get his number?
Right.
So because I wanted to get him on the show that day. Because Tommy DeVito had his moment, and it was a moment, okay?
Oh,
I don't blame Stellato going in there and asking for more money from the pizza joint because he knew his moment was coming up, all right?
Yeah.
So I gave you that number, and in exchange, so you gave me the number of Stellato. I gave you Joe Shane's number.
Yep.
The guy who's running the Giants.
That's right, yep.
And
yep.
It turns out the moment I got Stellato's number, like the second it arrived on my phone, my show already had him on. And so I had to call Joe and say, hey, Gio has your number now.
Yeah.
And I apologize. And Joe has not responded since.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, not a good situation. I did ask for Aaron Rodgers first. You said no, anybody but him.
I'm not giving Aaron's number.
Yeah, I mean, I did ask for that.
How do people like Diana Rossini, how does she have Aaron Rodgers' number? How do, like,
good at her job.
I'm saying like how like these guys that are super secretive, how do their numbers get out?
It's a good question. My guess would be because Aaron has some friends in the media that those friends trust Diana and give him the number. And the way she probably pitches it is like, listen, I need Aaron's perspective on this thing. You know, he could say no, but I'm going to give him an opportunity
to get chance, right?
His side of the story. And then they, if you're going to do that, you know, I'll text him for you. Why don't you just text him? I don't know. That would be my guess.
So Rossini was in studio yesterday. I have to be honest with you. There was a moment where I was thinking about stealing her phone during a break.
Oh, just to go through it?
Yeah, just to go through it.
Well, she's definitely got a passcode on that, right? She better have a passcode on that thing. Can't just steal a phone in 2024 and just get hack right into it.
Wait, so Eddie felt like I didn't give up enough to get Stellato's number? I gave him Joe Shane's number.
Yeah, you at the time, Eddie, if you remember, you were like, eh. It was not that you didn't think that Joe Shane's number was that impressive.
Yeah, and I still don't.
But for Sean Stellato, the agent for Tommy DeVito, I mean, come on. As a one for one, we did pretty good for that.
Yeah, yes. That's actually fair.
Yeah.
For that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I asked for Aaron Rodgers. He said no. I said Joe Shane.
Yeah. I mean, Stellato was such a big deal at the time for a day.
He was.
That perhaps, if you push me enough, perhaps I would have given you Aaron Rodgers' number.
Nah.
I think that's Eddie's point.
But we actually needed that number because of the involvement with the B&G Live.
Well, yeah, but that was actually a different... So he has a different marketing guy than a football guy. So it's actually Lep Seltzer's son is Tommy DeVito's marketing guy who was at Boomer and Geo Live. We had Tommy DeVito. We did a live off-air show. We've actually done three of them. And the last one we did, we had Tommy DeVito there, and he made Sean Morash into a human chicken cutlet.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. I believe that we've got video of that somewhere, right? CBS Sports Network? You got to be able to find that. We'd put breadcrumbs all over him and sauce.
So I could ask you
right here. Okay, here was Tommy DeVito showing up at White Eagle Hall in New Jersey. And there's Tommy. Hey, Tommy, let's talk some football. Let's do this show. Let's have a good time, and then let's humiliate one of our colleagues. There we go. Let's do it. Yes, and he's got a bun as an outfit,
right?
And there's the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
The sauce all over Sean.
Right.
And then here comes Tommy with the 4C breadcrumbs. Look at that technique.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Look at that technique.
And people paid money to come watch this live.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
For the third time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the third.
Sean seems to be enjoying it.
Of course he is.
These are the things you have to do if you're Sean. I mean, this is what sports radio is all about.
Right, no, 100%.
This is what you do.
Look at Al grating the Parmesan.
Listen, Sean is 2 years away from afternoon drive. I mean, I know he's on the show already.
Yes.
But he's 2 years away from getting Evan out of that booth and hosting that show. I'm not trying to get Evan out of the booth. I'm just saying these are the steps you have to do. You have to be willing to do these types of things to make it in sports radio.
Yeah.
Lord knows I did all of them.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I was wheeled out in a gurney like Hannibal Lecter at a Dania High Line. I mean, they shaved my chest.
I know. I mean, and so Sean does it willingly. And Peter Schwartz, we have to pay him for everything that he does. So we had to give him 8 Legends tickets.
Right.
New York Yankee Legends tickets to do.
But maybe his tune changes now that we have Morash willing to do outrageous
stuff. I don't think so. In order to do Schwartzy the Snowman, which is for our Christmas live show, we covered him in marshmallow fluff.
So Morash is doing these things for free?
Well, I mean, he's getting paid by the radio station to be on the radio station.
No, but
so
he's
like to do these things as part of what it is. You know what?
No, these promotions. He's doing it for, like, people are paying to see these things, and he's not getting a piece of it?
No,
I got to
really.
Sit down with Morash later today. I mean, I do.
Well,
why are we having things dumped all over him for free? I mean,
well, you can't look at it that way. You got to look at it like
promotion.
It's and here's Peter Schwartz with his came out in a onesie, and we did Schwartzy the Snowman. Yes, so Jesus, he says. No, the way you got to look at it is it's. The days of the 1995 Mike and the Mad Dog show of 4 hours of radio and go home doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
Your value has to be built up in other ways. So that's what it is.
By letting people dump crap
all over you. It's entertainment.
Right.
Non-traditional revenue. And if you can help us out, then you could help us out.
That's the way they look at it. So that's what we do.
Look at us talking NTR and WFAN, traditional revenue. What's the matter with you? We are radio fossils, you and I.
Well, I'm trying not to be.
I know.
I'm trying not to be.
I brought you there, though.
You did. You dragged me right into
radio.
It.
I mean, listen, I'm at a place that has phone lines. I'm at a place that doesn't have windows. I'm at a place that has bumpers. Mm. I'm at a place where an accident is sponsored. I heard that during the traffic report.
Yeah.
I love radio, man. Yeah. It's so gross.
It's so gross. It certainly is. And one more thing, by the way, that I thought of, and I don't know if anybody watched this Hard Knocks thing. I don't know if nobody did this morning. It's fine. So if you did see it last night, they have the three top receivers in with the receivers coach.
Uh-huh.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze.
Right.
And they're all in the Giants facility. They're going over plays. They're doing this. They're writing stuff up on the board. I mean, and they're every one of them is doing really well with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think, what was Dave Gettleman's process in landing Kadarius Toney? Honestly. So this regime brought all three of the top wide receivers in and interviewed them and had them go through plays and X's and O's.
The way you should do it, right.
There is no way they did that with Kadarius Toney because they would have never drafted him.
Right.
I mean, and then of course, he shows up with one shoe to his first practice.
But Gettleman's gut told him he was going to be great.
Well, sure. No, what happened was they desperately needed a weapon after the Eagles traded up ahead of him and took Devontae Smith. And then they needed to do something, so they scrambled, took Kadarius Toney, and it blew up in their face. All right, so we're talking program director stuff.
Yeah.
You said you had a moment yesterday that made you realize that what you did in turning this job down, as you describe it, others say that you did that it didn't go down that way, but okay. you're saying that you turned the job down.
I don't get
down.
What others say. I was part of the conversations, okay? Like, what is going on here?
Perhaps
I should have presented it differently because I feel bad doing that to Ryan, but I was offered the job. I turned it down. That's it.
All right.
Can we move on?
All right, that's what others are saying, that it's different. So what was this moment yesterday?
So yesterday, you have these moments in life. I had one yesterday. You know, because you make decisions throughout your life, some bigger than others. And this was a big decision for me. Mm-hmm. Should I be the program director at WFAN? But some of the things you don't think about as you're talking to Chris Oliveiro 15 times a day for, 4.5 weeks.
Yep.
I dragged it out way too long.
No, we know.
I know.
Spike Eskin was ready to kill you because he wanted to leave here and go back to Philadelphia, and you were holding the whole thing up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He hates your guts because of that.
Spike is the reason it took so long.
Why?
Because I spoke to Spike one day. He was out of breath. He was in traffic.
Okay.
Spike was supposed to sell me on taking the job. He made me not want the job.
Well, of course. He didn't want the job.
I was ready to do it until I spoke to Spike. And that I had to think for another month. So anyway, the hotel that Ryan put me in. And I think you would agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Not the nicest hotel.
A little subpar spot, yeah.
Okay, right down the street, which I appreciate, mm-hmm. but not the nicest.
For 3 or 4 nights especially, you cannot be in there. One night, you crash, fine. Multiple nights going back there, not good.
I stayed there for a night, and yesterday he was kind enough to get me out of that hotel into a new hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he's also doing this, I believe, from either Giants camp... Well, he's at Giants camp or Yankee Stadium?
No, he was at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, he's at Yankee Stadium.
Yankee Stadium, yeah.
So he's dealing with everything going on at Yankee Stadium. And then, Gio, you know me very well. He's dealing with that at the exact same time he is dealing with me checking out of a hotel.
Because
he hadn't sent the forms in, right? So they're charging my card and I'm getting outraged about it, okay? I mean, look, I'm not paying for anything. No one's paying me. I'm not paying for anything, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't collected a dime from this place, all right?
Uh-huh.
By the way, the entire week brought to you by StuGatzBook.com. Go buy it today. So I am trying to get out of that hotel into the new hotel, much nicer hotel, also right down the street. And I realized, as Ryan is being so patient and getting me all the information and dealing with everything out at Yankee Stadium all at the same time, and probably 50 other problems I'm not aware of that's going on at the radio station, I realized right there in that moment, I would have bailed on me 4.5 hours ago. Like, hey, Stugat, that's the hotel I got for you.
Yeah.
Deal with it. That's where you're staying.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize as I'm talking to Olivero, that's some of the... And by the way, I'm booking hotels for guys to fill in for Boomer when I want to be the guy filling in for Boomer. And so it dawned on me right then and there.
Yeah.
I would have quit within a week.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. First of all, you would not be dealing with somebody filling in. You'd be filling in. And if you weren't, you would have foisted that responsibility onto an underling.
You're right.
So you would have never dealt with that. Right?
Would have been Al's problem.
Yeah. Yeah, David Marinick back there would be like, this Stugatz, I've never worked harder in my life.
I'm doing his job.
You're getting feet up on the desk vaping.
You're 100% right. Yeah. So Hurley should have done that, and he needs to learn to delegate. Because that is a Marinick thing, okay? It is not a guy who's at a Yankee Stadium running the radio station.
Yeah, but
he's giving me confirmation numbers. He's asking me if everything's okay.
Good.
I'm like, hey, focus on Yankee. No, he's great.
Yeah, it's good. I love that.
I tell you the story only to tell you this. Mm. He is the right program director for this radio station. I would have been the wrong one.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hmm?
Amazing.
Yeah.
An admission right there.
Yeah.
Maybe Awful Announcing will put that up.
He's great. He is great.
It would have been a wonderful car wreck for how long it lasted, though, if you took it. To watch this train slowly just explode.
Right.
And go off the rails.
To the ground. Everybody just waiting for the fire to go out.
How long do you think, Eddie? Like, what was the over-under? Was there an over-under?
8 months.
Really? I would have went way under.
Yeah, but the way that he operates, though, like, he would have found a way for it to work somehow.
From Florida.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, that's the thing. He's like a cockroach. You know, like, you can't kill him. You know, you just can't.
I appreciate that. It's a compliment.
Like, he would have never, like, he might have left, maybe, but he wouldn't have left before he got what he wanted.
I'm just thinking, you know, 51 years old, been doing this forever, and I'm just imagining, you know, someone's filling in for Tiki with Evan, and they're calling me. I'm at Yankee Stadium, yeah. And they're asking me, hey, cancel this hotel. Get me into this hotel.
Go scratch.
Gio, how does that go?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Please, give me a break. Give me a break.
So, armed with hindsight, I think WFAN made the right decision.
All right, it's Boomer and Gio. It's Stugatz in for Boomer. Another CeeLo update coming up in just a minute or two.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo. It's Stugatz in for Boomer the rest of the week. We've got CeeLo here with another update. What's up, Chris?
All right, brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. Jeff McNeil, red hot all of a sudden.
Talking sets. Here's the pitch.
swinging a high fly ball, well hit, right center, Soto going back towards the track, towards the wall, it's gone! Jeff McNeil, a two-run homer into the Yankees bullpen in right center field. He's had the power stroke this week, and he has just given the Mets a 3-1 lead.
That's how he rolls.
Holy shit!
WCBS 880, I agree, Howie. That two-run shot in the sixth after Luis Gil had departed the game, and it held up as the game winner. Mets edged the Yankees at the stadium 3-2. They are now 3-for-3 in the Subway Series this season with one to go. Fourth home run for McNeil since the All-Star break, batting .400 across those five games. This one came down to the ninth inning, though. No Edwin Diaz for the Mets last night, so you got Jake Diekman closing for Carlos Mendoza. He issued a four-pitch, one-out walk to Juan Soto. That brought Aaron Judge to the plate as the winning run, and Diekman struck him out looking on an inside corner fastball at, I believe, 96 miles per hour. Here is Mendoza on his thought process, having pitched very carefully to Judge all night long to the tune of four walks.
When the ninth inning started, it, I was going to just let it play out and see, how we were going to get to Judge. Obviously, it was a run out first base, and I decided to pitch to him. I'm glad he worked out today. And again, huge job by Diekman.
Very delicate spot there, lefty righty as well, with arguably.
We all know the type of hitter Judge he is. And I thought he executed some really good pitches. And then for that strike three, that two seam, pretty impressive. And then continue to make pitches throughout the whole inning.
And here was Judge from his perspective on that pivotal at bat there in the ninth.
You notice after four straight balls to Soto, you know, see a pitch, see if he can. Where he's at with this command, and then, you know, from there go to work, and then he, you know, paints one on the corner there, 2-2. You know, it's a tough one, but you know, I got to be ready for it.
Pretty good location, locked him up there in a big spot, and then he got Ben Rice to end the game, and the Mets walk away with a one-run victory, and their bullpen shutting it down. That's obviously been an area that's been of concern for quite some time.
Yes, and Jake Diekman in that situation is not someone I wanted to see actually try to get Aaron Judge out on first blush. I have to admit that. I would have put the tying run on second base 10 times out of 10 there. Yeah. So I don't know if just because he struck him out, that means it was the right decision, but it worked out last night.
Well, yes, no, it does mean it was the right decision.
No, not necessarily.
He struck him out. I mean,
there are times, too, where I feel like a right decision was made and then someone hits a home run. I mean, I would have not done that.
So you're walking Judge, you're putting a guy on second base, mm-hmm. a single ties the game. I mean, what are you doing?
What I'm doing is not pitching to the best hitter by far that's in the game and one of the best we've ever seen.
Right. Yeah. But he struck him out.
He did this
but
time.
This time. But
give him 10 cracks at it. How many times does he do some damage?
Nine.
Right?
I think nine. Yep. I think so.
You have him batting 900 in that spot.
Yeah. Against Jake Diekman?
Yes.
Yes. At Yankee Stadium? Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah. Man. By yeah. the way, this was Soto from Monday after the win over the Rays. He's responding to Luis Severino's they've only got two hitters critique.
We dominate mostly of the first half, so I think when a team does that, I don't think it's only about one or two players. It takes every single guy in the lineup, and it's not only two players team. I think they're a really good team right now.
So he said they dominated most of the first half and that they've got a really good team right now. Well, the Mets certainly won last night's battle, not only on the scoreboard, but with the way they handled the rest of the Yankee lineup for the most part, and then getting Judge out in the biggest spot of the game. Stugatz, we're not allowed to play Aaron Boone sound here mm-hmm. on the show. That's
okay.
Embargoed, but I'll give you one of the typical Boone quotes. I'll read it to you.
All
so
right.
He felt the Yankees had some, quote, decent at bats in big spots tonight, and I'll just note that they left 11 men on base.
Yes. So. Yep. And that's really. And that right there is why we don't play him.
There
but
you
he
go.
Said decent at bats. Decent. That can go either way.
I
right?
think he did also later said good at bats
okay.
as well.
Wow.
So
he crossed the line.
Yeah. His team takes a loss, so the Mets are now in position to go for the four-game season sweep tonight. It's Sean Manaea opposed by Garrett Cole. Pre-game coverage 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Paul Skeens made his first start post-All-Star break and suffered his first big league loss. He was through 8 innings of one-run ball on just 91 pitches at home against the Cardinals. So good on Derek Shelton. Sent it back out there for the ninth. It did backfire a bit, though. He gave up a double, got a ground out, and then an RBI single lifted there, and he ends up taking the loss as the Pirates did not score for him. 2-1 Cardinals. Final line on Skeens, though, still excellent. 8 1/3, 4 hits, couple of runs, no walks, 8 Ks, 104 pitches, 78 strikes. So coming out the All-Star break after that All-Star game start, looking pretty good, but did suffer his first big league loss. Football-wise, training camps are getting underway. Teams are reporting. Jets and Giants did so yesterday. No Hassan Reddick in Florham Park. His holdout continues, but Aaron Rodgers did show without issue, as expected. Didn't meet the media yet, but some of his teammates did. Tight end Tyler Conklin confirms locker room simply doesn't care that Rodgers missed mandatory minicamp.
That was never an issue. I mean, he was here for, I think, just about every single OTA practice.
And just as Rodgers told PMT in the audio that we heard yesterday, minicamp not what it once was either.
He put his minicamp label on those last two or three practices, and in reality, it's the same exact thing as OTAs. It always has been since I've been in the league. I know he talked about how back in the day it was, you know, a little different.
So all good there. He gave you the Egypt t-shirt yesterday, or the Egypt reference t-shirt. Even Woody Johnson was tweeting that out with excitement as camp is going to be getting underway. Jets and Giants will have their first workouts later today.
Basically, the only thing I really care about that comes out of this thing is if Rob Saleh has learned anything about how to deal with stuff like this. Yeah. Because he still hasn't learned at all since taking over the job how to minimize an issue. Or he just goes up to that podium and just makes it worse. You know, it's like he touches the poison ivy and then puts it over the rest of his body. You know?
What do you want him to do?
I want
say
him,
less.
Right, say less. I mean, and every when Boomer asked me that question with Rob Saleh, I usually give an exact answer of what I would say in that spot.
Right.
And it's just there's so many coaches that know how to deal with it. Where there's issues, but he always makes it worse. He's also the same guy who was texting with Joe Beningo. All right?
It's a fair point.
I mean, and then Joe Beningo goes on the air and goes, you know, I can tell you one thing, he doesn't like that Zach Wilson. He doesn't like him. All right? So Rob Saleh makes things worse.
Is that Rob's fault or Joe's fault, though?
It's Rob's fault.
I'm certain Rob figured he was telling Joe something in confidence. I mean...
But it's Joe Beningo.
I know.
This is what I'm saying. I said at the time, there's not a thing about my life that I wouldn't want everybody to know that I would tell Joe Beningo.
Right.
Not a single thing.
Right. And we love Joe.
And we love him. But man, is that guy a sieve. That info goes right through him. Somebody else. Jeez.
Oh, God. Hard Knocks with the Giants, episode 4, locked into trading up for, or looked into, I should say, trading up for a QB. They end up staying at 6 and selecting Malik Nabers. As we know, Brian Daboll got the endorsement from his former boss, Nick Saban, and was sure to share that with two of his current bosses, and John Mara and Steve Tisch, on draft night.
Saban, who's, you know, the last couple of years, give me the guys in this draft, your top three. He's like, there's two skill guys that are f***ing problems. And they were problems when we played them. Big time problems. The first one is Malik. He f***ing went off on him.
And like you said, he's, you know, laying back on the couch. The feet are up. And but obviously problems in a positive way, meaning causing problems for opposing defenses.
But that is draft analysis that I want, that I covet, that I crave. Don't go to Kuiper. Don't go to McShay. Just go to Saban and have Saban tell you if the guy was a bleeping problem.
Right, yeah. And right? I do have two takeaways from this. And by the way, this wasn't the time he was laying down. This was, he was in the suit.
But wasn't he like, I feel like he was casually laying back in a chair. Like,
yeah.
He had the suit on.
It was a little more.
But he still was, looking relaxed.
Yeah, he always looks relaxed. I feel like in the off season, he's been very relaxed. But two things I took away from him. One, Brian Daboll did what you would do in that situation, where he goes, Stu Gatz, he goes, I talked to Nick on the way here. Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Like,
in case you weren't clear.
Right. Nick Saban on the way here.
Right.
So that was one. And mm-hmm. two was, you waited that long to talk to Nick Saban? You're 2 hours away from the draft. Right?
Oh, he's on the way here? See, I missed that part.
On the way here, yes.
Yeah, he goes, I called Nick on the way here.
How about you call him a week ago?
Months ago.
Months ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe he did, and that was the first time that Saban actually got back to him. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I did not pick up on that. Very good, Gene. Mm-hmm. Very good. Tom Brady is dating another model. See this?
Oh, no, I did not.
Really?
He's reported, rumored, to be dating Sports Illustrated model Brooks Nader. So this would be, if true.
That's Ralph's daughter.
Is it?
No.
Oh. You had me.
But it could be.
Probably not.
It can't
you had
be.
Me.
No.
This would be the fourth, by the way, if true, fourth model since his divorce, if this one is indeed happening.
Mm.
So maybe a response to what's going on with Belichick. I don't know.
27.
Really tried to checkmate him?
What do you think? I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Nader, yeah, 27. Latest dating rumor.
Mm.
Unconfirmed, I guess. Who you see in there? Who's reporting? Is this a TMZ situation? What do we got?
It's the New York Post. Sports Entertainment, New York Post. Tom Brady linked to SI swimsuit model Brooks Nader in latest dating rumor. Tom Brady is wasting no time as an eligible bachelor for... was linked to another... according to Barstool Sports.
So we're aggregating here.
Yes, yeah, apparently.
Mm. How about that?
Mm.
What's up with your boy Ocho? Did he miss some time on the Nightcap podcast or something?
Know.
All right, so I'll play this. He made some sort of dramatic return. I don't know what was going on. I don't follow that as closely to know. But he and Shannon Sharp getting together. Of course, you know, Chad does it from home. And I guess he did some big smoke entrance in order to, again, be very dramatic with his return to the podcast. And things went awry as Shannon was reintroducing him to the audience.
Y'all see who it is? Yes, that's right, baby. The number 85, your favorite number 85, the route runner extraordinaire, the Bengals legend, live from Liberty City. That's Chad Ocho Cinco Johnson.
Y'all Let's go. Where we at, baby?
Yeah.
We back.
They not like us.
We back.
They not like us.
That's what I'm talking about. Ocho. Well, we back.
Yeah.
Back with vision.
That's
back.
The way you make an entrance.
Huh? Oh, shit.
You
set the
fire alarm off?
My bad. Hold on.
Smoke in the house set off the fire alarm.
didn't think of that ahead of time?
I guess not.
I saw, was it Diamador Lenore?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
I was going to say, I've got another smoke alarm related piece of audio for you next.
That blew my mind.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
All of it seems a bit much for a guy returning to a podcast, though, right?
I
know that they're... unique individuals, these two, and they like to have a good time. But that one backfired a little bit.
All right, CeeLo, good stuff. We will see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's late July. Generally, people are not sick in late July. But we've got multiple people here sick, and one of them is not Chris Lopresti, which is a shocker, because if you were to set a line on which one of us would be sick, CeeLo would be there at probably, you know, minus 10,000.
Why? Got sick a lot?
God. He's got every ailment that you could possibly have that comes from a germ, CeeLo has had.
Really?
I mean, he's had dengue fever. He's had croup. He's had the plague, the bubonic plague.
Huh.
I think he had original COVID.
Right.
He had bird flu. Encephalitis. He came in here with encephalitis once.
Foot and mouth.
Yeah. He had Coxsackie. Came in here with Coxsackie.
Mm, the old Coxsackie, huh?
Yeah. So it's not CeeLo. CeeLo's the picture of health today.
Right.
It's Al who is got some sort of ailment or of cold or something that could be COVID COVID is back, but what, as Al said this morning, what is COVID exactly? It's you get a stuffy nose if you're a healthy person generally and you're okay.
Right. Is COVID back or did COVID ever go away? I mean, it's just.
Well, I think it's bad. I mean,
it's
it goes
the whole time.
It goes in waves.
Right. Okay.
Like the Yankees offense. Right. It just goes up and down and up and down.
Yeah.
So Al is right as a PSA. Don't go around someone, you know, don't go in a nursing home and start spitting. You know, if you have COVID, but for the most part, you should be okay if you're a healthy individual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Al's got that, and now you have been pooping your brains out for the last 6 or 7 minutes.
I have, yeah. It's been two consecutive commercial breaks, and a few spots for the next break because I feel another one coming up.
Oh, my God.
I am terrified to go around Al right now. I want to spend time in that room with Al. I want to spend time with Eddie. I am terrified to go around Al, but I will tell you this. I did go to the bathroom. I took care of my business. I did take CeeLo's keys, and then I handed them back to CeeLo. So there's a good chance he might be out tomorrow.
Oh, God. I mean,
yeah.
Do you think you're like, you're sick, or you
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, it's early. It's early in the process. I don't know if I'm sick, if I just have a little stomach bug, if I ate something bad last night, and I'm just, you know, it's going through
explosive
me right now.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, right. I'll get back to you in about 10, you know. Get back to you around 10, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
Right now, not sick. Just, you know, have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
All right, very good.
All right.
I'm not coming out of this healthy.
You brought it up. Why are you surprised people are sick in July? I mean, what?
People don't get sick. We don't get sick in July. We get sick in February.
You get sick when you get sick?
No.
What?
You don't. I'm telling you. We are healthy in the summer months. You don't have as many germs. Summer colds don't really happen around you. You haven't lived up here in a very long time, man.
Al, please tell me you're looking this up, because my guess is more people get sick in the summer than they do in the winter.
Crap.
What kind of response is that?
You're nuts. People get sick. Flu. What is flu?
Are you
season?
Eating?
I am a Lara bar.
Okay.
The reason why I'm eating now is because I didn't want you. I was thinking about your germs spitting on the rest of my Lara bar. I was like, let me get this in my mouth.
I understand.
Fall and winter, when viruses peak, fall and winter.
Yeah, because you're inside with the circulation. He lives in Miami. He has no idea.
Right. I mean, it's summer all year, right. All year round there.
Does say the rate of colds increase slowly in late August.
Thank you.
So this really would be the time when you're right, Gio. We should not be sick.
You're over there. There you go. No, it's the exact opposite of what you said.
I just needed July or August. That's
no, no, no. It's late August because it starts to ramp up into the fall, into the winter.
But I'm not talking, you know, flu and that. I'm just saying in general, you get sick when you get sick. If there's a stomach bug, you get a stomach bug. It's not exclusive to the winter months. I mean,
it's not exclusive, but that's generally when it happens. It is. We even talked about the norovirus has ripped through this show several times. We talked about getting the norovirus this winter, and we set like Memorial Day weekend as the time where if we got to Memorial Day weekend, we'd be okay. Right. It's the way things work in the Northeast,
man. Kids in school and that germ factory, that's over in the summer.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're nuts.
I didn't know I was doing the show with a bunch of doctors. I
mean, well, listen, it's just life experience, man, living in the Northeast.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll get to some Yankee calls right after 8 o'clock, but I wanted to tell you this yesterday. So West Sayville golf course, where I play the public course, county course, there's a road that goes down through the golf course. Now, it's just like a two-lane little road that goes into the golf course, into the parking lot.
Right.
So there's a road there. So there's cars go in and out of it. That's the entrance. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So the first couple of years that I played, I always made sure that a car wasn't going down that road because I could hit it anywhere.
Right.
So I didn't want to hit a car.
So this is early on in you playing golf because you're not terribly confident in your game, right?
Exactly. So okay. So yeah. Now I was playing well. I've been hitting the ball straight. I'm like, so now I don't even think about the cars. Because if you think about the cars and you think you're going to hit a car, right? So I don't even look at the cars.
Of course.
So I don't even look at the road anymore. So I'm sitting there in the ninth tee box and I hit the ball, solid contact, and it just starts leaking and leaking and leaking and leaking right. And there's this black Jeep looking, maybe it was like a Ford Explorer or a Jeep, and it's going, and they are tracking together. They are about to meet. It was a, as you like to say, collision course.
Yes.
Collision course. And all of a sudden, I go, no! And then, boom! It's whap! Hits the side of the car right by the hood, and he slams on the brakes, and I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, the odds of this, I know there's a road in the middle of the golf course, but
right.
A golf ball, a moving car, a moving golf ball, when I tee off, it has to be at that exact moment.
But what I love most about the story is this is something you avoided doing for many,
years.
Many years because you were not confident in your game.
Exactly.
So you clearly arrived at a place where Gio is confident.
Yeah.
In his golf game. He is confident with the driver.
Well, yeah, for the first time in forever, basically.
So confident that he is willing to hit said driver while a car is driving down the street.
Right.
You did all that early on to avoid hitting the car.
Right.
The first time you do it, you hit the car.
Hey,
what are the odds?
Put the Barstool footage on. This is from like when I really wasn't turning or moving. Put the most recent stuff on if you're going to Steven. Steven just tries to make me look terrible. That's what he does. Remember for years and years and years, you put that video up of me on the boat where I looked like I had my side of my head looked like the Boar's Head logo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that you always want to make me look terrible.
That's a producer's job to make you look bad.
Make me look terrible. Yes.
So what happens with the Jeep?
So the guy slams on the brakes and then he keeps going. I'm like, okay, like what the hell is going to happen? Right. So I'm like, maybe he gets to the parking lot, sees there's no damage, whatever. And by the way, ball hits the car. It's a long par four. Right. Ball hits the car, bounces back into the fairway, and I got like 130 yards in. Best drive I've ever had in the hole.
You got a great kick, huh?
Yeah, it was a great kick. So anyway,
you're happy with your drive.
So we're up here on the green on 9. The guy pulls up, and I'm like, it's like, here we go. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, you the guy that got hit? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, this could go any way now. Like, he could be really pissed or whatever.
Sure.
And he goes, it's an accident. So I'm like, okay, good. He's like, you didn't mean to do it. It's an accident. I understand. He's like, I went in. I talked to the guys at the pro shop. And apparently, I've got to file a report with the park ranger.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, who's the park ranger?
We still have park rangers.
I know. Like, I pictured it being like the Smokey the Bear.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I pictured him flying the board. Like, there's just a bear with a hat on in there going, okay. You know, like,
that's what I thought. And what's the park ranger going to do with the report?
I don't know. So then he goes, listen, but apparently if the park ranger doesn't deal with it, then it's got to go through your insurance. I'm sorry, but I got to take down your insurance. I'm like, fine, whatever. So I got the app on my phone.
I'd be
insurance.
Like, yo, I'm 100 yards out, man. Let's move on with our day.
I'm about to burn this hole. I never burned this hole. So I give him, I give him the card. I'm like, I'm hoping maybe he's a listener, right? So he just takes a picture of it and he goes, all right. He's like, is your name again, Greg? He goes, your last name? I go, Giannotti. He goes, like, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So then he gets to the car, drives away, and then he's got my number now. So he texts me, and he writes, hey, it's whatever his first name is. And I write back, hey, sorry again. And then he writes, hey, big fan of the show, in the text message. So I was like, okay. Then, after that.
Do you think he looked you up afterwards, or?
No. He knew right there? He knew.
Right, okay.
And then, of course, because Sayville is the smallest, most incestuous town in America.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, hey, here you're taking out cars on the golf course. That's one text I get from somebody. And then
the entire neighborhood knows.
10 minutes later, hey, just ran into my buddy who you hit today. So I'm getting all these text messages.
He's probably like your third cousin.
Yeah, I mean, probably. So I couldn't just hit the car to keep going. I hit the car. It's got a dent in it. Everybody knows the guy.
So he's okay. You're okay?
Yeah, everybody's okay, I guess.
No insurance needed. We're good. I don't know.
He's going to see what the park ranger bear has to say about it.
Oh, your deductible's going up. That's for sure.
Apparently, this guy's family owns a body shop, too.
I do have a story.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, listen, I grew up on Long Island. Everyone owns a body shop.
Yeah, it's true.
All my friends do.
You at least have, yes. It's six degrees of body shop.
We can get to this next hour, but it reminds me of a story, I guess, when I was hit in the head by a golf ball.
Oh, my God.
And I had pictures to prove it.
Like, yeah, you know what? That's a good one. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. Yes?
What insurance of yours covers that?
I guess auto. I asked it.
What if you were not somebody who drove and you were on the golf course and you hit somebody's car with the golf
ball? I don't know. I have.
It's a great question.
It's weird.
Do they take your child in that case?
No, I mean, I have like an umbrella policy. Maybe it applies to that. I don't know. But I was like, whatever, just take the insurance. Like, what am I supposed to do? What would you do in that situation? Like, just,
I
would have
said
need.
I was boomer. I mean,
I would have said you drove on a golf course. Like, go talk to the pro shop.
Right. Actually, that should be on the course with the Smokey the Bear.
I think this is, listen, this is an easy case. Get an attorney. They're right. You didn't do anything wrong. You're playing golf on a golf course. He's driving by the golf course.
Through the golf course.
Well, I mean, and if your car gets hit by a golf ball, it gets hit by a golf ball. He got in your way.
Yeah, I mean, true. But in that situation, I'm trying to be as least confrontational as possible. And so what if he's got my insurance information? So what? You know? Here, take it. Whatever. Yeah. I'm just being the good guy in that spot, right? I'm not going to sit there and argue with him.
I mean,
his car got hit by a ball.
Yes, but he's by a golf course. I don't know. It seems unnecessary. I mean, to ruin your round,
he
you got to wet.
No, he didn't ruin a round.
He made your round. He got to within 100 yards of the green. But you got a wedge in your hand, and the last thing you want to do is deal with car insurance.
I'm telling you, if that ball went into the other fairway on 10, I probably wouldn't have been so nice.
You would have said.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's late July. Generally, people are not sick in late July. But we've got multiple people here sick, and one of them is not Chris Lopresti, which is a shocker, because if you were to set a line on which one of us would be sick, CeeLo would be there at probably, you know, minus 10,000.
What, he gets sick a lot?
God, he's got every ailment that you could possibly have
right. That
comes from a germ, CeeLo has had.
Really?
I mean, he's had dengue fever, he's had croup, he's had the plague, the bubonic plague.
Huh.
I think he had original COVID.
Right.
Bird flu, I believe he had bird flu. Encephalitis. He came in here with encephalitis once.
Foot and mouth.
Yeah. He had Coxsackie. Came in here with Coxsackie.
Mm, the old Coxsackie, huh?
Yeah. So it's not CeeLo. CeeLo's the picture of health today.
Right.
It's Al who has got some sort of ailment or cold or something that could be COVID because. Yeah. COVID is back, but what as Al said this morning, what is COVID exactly? It's you get a stuffy nose if you're a healthy person generally, and you're okay.
Right. Is COVID back, or did COVID ever go away? I mean, it's
I think it's bad. I mean,
it's
goes
been in, the whole time.
Goes
right?
in waves.
Right. Okay.
Like the Yankees offense. Right? Just goes up and down and up and down.
Yeah.
So Al is right as a PSA. Don't go around someone, you know, don't go in a nursing home and start spitting. You know, if you have COVID, but for the most part, you should be okay. If you're a healthy individual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Al's got that. And now you have been pooping your brains out for the last 6 or 7 minutes.
I have. Yeah. It's been two consecutive commercial breaks. Add a few spots for the next break because I feel another one coming up.
Oh my God.
I am terrified to go around Al right now. I want to spend time in that room with Al. I want to spend time with Eddie. I am terrified to go around Al, but I will tell you this. I did go to the bathroom. I took care of my business. I did take CeeLo's keys, and then I handed them back to CeeLo. So there's a good chance he might be out tomorrow.
God. I mean,
yeah.
Do you think you're like, you're sick, or you
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, it's early. It's early in the process. I don't know if I'm sick, if I just have a little stomach bug, if I ate something bad last night, and I'm just, you know, it's going through
explosive
me right now.
Explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, right. I'll get back to you in about 10, you know, get back to you around 10, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
Right now, not sick, just, you know, have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
All right, very good.
All right.
I'm not coming out of this healthy.
You brought it up. Why are you surprised people are sick in July? I mean, what?
People don't get sick. We don't get sick in July. We get sick in February.
Sick when you get sick?
No.
What?
You don't. I'm telling you, we are healthy in the summer months. You don't have as many germs.
I don't. Summer colds don't really happen around here. You haven't lived up here in a very long time, man.
Al, please tell me you're looking this up, because my guess is more people get sick in the summer than they do in the winter.
Crap.
We're both nuts. What kind of response is that?
You're nuts. People get sick. Flu. What is flu
Are you
season?
Eating?
I am a Lara bar.
Okay.
The reason why I'm eating now is because I didn't want you. I was thinking about your germs spitting on the rest of my Lara bar. I was like, let me get this in my mouth.
I understand.
Fall and winter, when viruses peak. Fall and winter.
Yeah, because you're inside with the what planet are you living on? No circulation. He lives in Miami. He has no idea.
Right. I mean, it's summer all year, all year round there.
Does say the rate of colds increase slowly in late August.
Thank you.
So this really would be the time when you're right, Gio. We should not be sick.
Should not be sick. You're over there. There you go. No, it's the exact opposite of what
you
said.
I just needed July or August. That's
no, no. It's at late August because it starts to ramp up into the fall, into the winter.
But I'm not talking, you know, flu and that. I'm just saying in general, you get sick when you get sick. If there's a stomach bug, you get a stomach bug. It's not exclusive to the winter months. I mean,
it's not exclusive, but that's generally when it happens. It is. We even talked about the norovirus has ripped through this show several times. We talked about getting the norovirus this winter, and we set like Memorial Day weekend as the time where if we got to Memorial Day weekend, we'd be okay. Right. It's the way things work in the Northeast,
man. Kids in school and that germ factory, that's over in the summer.
Sorry.
You're nuts.
I didn't know I was doing the show with a bunch of doctors. I
mean, well, listen, it's just life experience, man, living in the Northeast.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll get to some Yankee calls right after 8 o'clock, but I wanted to tell you this yesterday. So West Sayville Golf Course, where I play the public course, county course, there's a road that goes down through the golf course. Now, it's just like a two-lane little road that goes into the golf course, where into the parking lot.
Right.
So there's a road there. So there's cars go in and out of it. That's the entrance. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So the first couple of years that I played, I always made sure that a car wasn't going down that road because I could hit it anywhere.
Right.
So I didn't want to hit a car.
So this is early on in you playing golf because you're not terribly confident in your game, right?
Exactly. Okay. So now I was playing well. I've been hitting the ball straight. I'm like, so now I don't even think about the cars. Because if you think about the cars and you think you're going to hit a car, right? So I don't even look at the cars.
Of course.
So I don't even look at the road anymore. So I'm sitting there in the ninth tee box and I hit the ball, solid contact, and it just starts leaking and leaking and leaking and leaking right. And there's this black Jeep looking, maybe it was like a Ford Explorer or a Jeep, and it's going, and they are tracking together. They are about to meet. It was a, as you like to say, collision course.
Yes.
Collision course. And all of a sudden, I go, no! And then, boom! It's whap! Hits the side of the car right by the hood, and he slams on the brakes, and I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, the odds of this, I know there's a road in the middle of the golf course, but
right.
A golf ball, a moving car, a moving golf ball, when I tee off, it has to be that exact moment.
But what I love most about the story is this is something you avoided doing for many,
years.
Many years because you were not confident in your game.
Exactly.
So you clearly arrived at a place where Gio is confident in his golf game. He is confident with the driver.
Well, yeah, for the first time forever, basically.
So confident that he is willing to hit said driver while a car is driving down the street.
Right.
You did all that early on to avoid hitting the car.
Right.
The first time you do it, you hit the car.
Hey,
what are the odds?
Put the Barstool footage on. This is from like when I really wasn't turning or moving. Put the most recent stuff on if you're going to Steven. Steven just tries to make me look terrible. That's what he does. Remember for years and years and years, he put that video up of me on the boat where I looked like my side of my head looked like the Boar's Head logo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he always wants to make me look terrible.
That's a producer's job to make you look bad.
Make me look terrible. Yes. So anyway.
So what happens with the Jeep?
So the guy slams on the brakes and then he keeps going. So right. I'm like, okay, like what the hell is going to happen?
Right.
So I'm like, maybe he gets to the parking lot, sees there's no damage, whatever. So by the way, ball hits the car. It's a long par four.
Right.
Ball hits the car, bounces back into the fairway, and I got like 130 yards in. Best drive I've ever had in the hole.
You got a great kick, huh?
Yeah, it was a great kick. So anyway, so then
you're happy with your drive.
So up here on the green on 9, the guy pulls up, and I'm like, it's like, here we go. I'm like, hey, man. He's like, you the guy that got hit? He's like, yeah.
And I'm like, this could go any way now. Like, he could be really pissed or whatever.
Sure.
And he goes, it's like, it's an accident. So I'm like, okay, good. He's like, you didn't mean to do it. It's an accident. I understand. He's like, I went in. I talked to the guys at the pro shop. And apparently, I've got to file a report with the park ranger.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, who's the park ranger?
We still have park rangers.
I know. Like, I pictured it being like the Smokey the Bear.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I pictured him flying the board. Like, there's just a bear with a hat on in there going, okay. You know, like, that's
what I thought. And what's the park ranger going to do with the report?
I don't know. So then he goes, listen, but apparently if the park ranger doesn't deal with it, then it's got to go through your insurance. I got to take down your insurance. I'm like, fine, whatever. So I got the app on my phone.
I'd be insurance. Like, yo, I'm 100 yards out, man. Let's move on with our day.
Right, I'm about to burn this hole. I never burned this hole. So I give him, you know, I give him the card. I'm like, I'm hoping maybe he's a listener, right? So he just takes a picture of it and he goes, all right. He's like, is your name again, Greg? He goes, your last name? I go, Giannotti. He goes, like, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So then he gets to the car, drives away, and then he's got my number now. So he texts me, and I said, he writes, hey, it's whatever his first name is. And I write back, hey, sorry again. And then he writes, hey, big fan of the show, in the text message. So I was like, okay. Then after that.
Do you think he looked you up afterwards? Or
No. He knew
right there?
He knew.
Right, okay.
And then, of course, because Sayville is the smallest, most incestuous town in America.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, hey, here you're taking out cars on the golf course. That's one text I get from somebody. And then
the entire neighborhood knows.
10 minutes later, hey, just ran into my buddy who you hit today. So I'm getting all these text messages.
He's probably like your third cousin.
Yeah, I mean, probably. So I couldn't just hit the car to keep going. I hit the car. It's got a dent in it. Everybody knows the guy.
So he's okay. You're okay.
Yeah, everybody's okay. I guess
no insurance needed. We're good. I don't know.
He's going to see what the park ranger bear has to say about it.
Oh, your deductible's going up. That's for sure.
Apparently, this guy's family owns a body shop too.
I do have a story.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, listen, I grew up on Long Island. Everyone owns a body shop.
Yeah, that's true.
All my friends do.
You at least have, yes. It's six degrees of body shop.
We can get to this next hour, but it reminds me of a story, I guess, when I was hit in the head by a golf ball.
Oh, my God.
And I had pictures to prove it.
Like, yeah, you know what? That's a good one. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. Yes?
What insurance of yours covers that?
I guess auto. I asked.
It's what if
auto.
You like? What if you were not somebody who drove and you were on the golf course and you hit somebody's car with the golf
ball? I have.
Ball?
I don't know. I have.
It's a great question.
It's weird.
Do
I don't
they
know.
Take your
it's
child great. In that case?
No, I mean, I have like an umbrella policy. Maybe it applies to that. I don't know. But I was like, whatever. Just take the insurance. Like, what am I supposed to do? What would you do in that situation? Like, just,
I
would have
said
need.
I was boomer. I mean,
I would have said you. You drove on a golf course. Like, go talk to the pro shop.
Right. Actually, that should be on the course with the Smokey the Bear.
I think this is, this is an easy case. Get an attorney. They're right. You didn't do anything wrong. You're playing golf on a golf course. He's driving by the golf course.
Through the golf course.
Well, I mean, and if your car gets hit by a golf ball, it gets hit by a golf ball. He got in your way.
Yeah, I mean, true. But in that situation, I'm trying to be as least confrontational as possible. And so what if he's got my insurance information? So what? You know? Here, take it. Whatever. Yeah. I'm just being the good guy in that spot, right? I'm not going to sit there and argue with him.
I mean,
his car got hit by a ball.
Yes, but he's by a golf course.
I don't know.
It seems unnecessary. I mean, to ruin your round,
he didn't ruin a round.
He made your round. He got into within 100 yards of the green, but you got a wedge in your hand, and the last thing you want to do is deal with car insurance.
I'm telling you, if that ball went into the other fairway on 10, I probably wouldn't have been so nice.
You would have said.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.